Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory. Just
How many people are encouraged tonight?
Good morning, good morning. And welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you stopped by the show today, whether this afternoon or tonight on the archives. I hope it be something that we will say today that will draw you a little bit closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an exciting topic for you today. And before we start on our topic today, we're going to say a prayer. Thank you, my wonderful Heavenly Father, the source of every good and perfect gift, that you have sent your spirit to live in me as a fountain of living water within me, springing up to refresh my heart and renew my mind. Heavenly Father, I yield, Lord, to your spirit today. I pray that you will fill me today and minister to me and through me. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we have an exciting topic today. And our topic today is on closure. You know, as I was thinking about that, we came out of a year, 2011, to a brand new year, 2012. And we should have closed the door on things from 2011, not to bring them back into 2012. The past, the hurts, the regrets, memories, and feelings. And today, we're going to be talking about closure. And I use for a topic today, closure on, I went all the way to the beginning from Genesis. And I'll be coming clean through different verses from Genesis 33:1-17 and 35:27-29. And a little about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Jacob and Esau and different ones in the passage as you read from verse, starting from chapter 33 on through. And, you know, as I was going through that, I was thinking about each and every one of our lives. What past fears and conflict do we need to put behind us? And how can we put painful memories and unresolved feelings behind us? And do we ever really get over the hurts and regret of the past? And that's where I came up with five important key words today on our past. We got to let it go. On the hurts in our life, we got to let them go. On the regrets, for sure, we got to let it go. Memories, we have good memories, bad memories. But for us to move on, we got to let some of this stuff go. Feelings, sure, you're going to feel about things, different things that come up in your life. But God want to take you to another plateau. He want to elevate you through the Spirit. And that means some things we got to just let go, you all. So I selected this story on Esau and Jacob. And as I was going through the scriptures on both chapters, I just kind of narrowed it down to on Esau and Jacob. And as I looked at that, you know, Jacob long awaited encounter with Esau. You know, after 20 years of exile, Jacob returned home. He had sent word to Esau along with the indicator that he wanted to make amends. And sometimes that's what you have to do within your family. You have to make amends. Hearing that Esau is on the way with 400 men, Jacob panicked, hastily preparing a lavish gift to appeal his brother and taking defense measure to protect himself should that fail. My, 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 my. You know why? You know, meanwhile, Jacob engaged in a nighttime struggle with a mysterious stranger who blessed him and gave him a new name. You know, as you go through the scriptures, and I picked out different things through the scriptures for to expedite time, the fight is not over, and the sun is rising. Jacob sees Esau and his men. Jacob, who has already arranged everything, continue to line everyone up. This including with Rachel and Joseph, his favorite, in the back, the safest position of all. Jacob himself now struggled past everyone to the front of the line. My, 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 my. How many times do we do that? We want to be at the front of everything, passing up everything to get to the front, but have God have put you to the front yet? And observing, watching from a distant peak would have seen a bewildering speculation. On one side march a army. On the other come a sprawling canvas of sheep, goats, camels, and other livestock. Plus, I'm going to add on that, adults and children of every age, as if arranged for a parade down, I would say paraphrase, Main Street. And a man with a distant limp waved his way through them all. You find that in 31:31. You know, advancing to meet the other group, he threw himself onto the ground again and again, 7 times in all. My, 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 my. And as I read on, I say, you know, I saw where here clearly is repentance. But can there ever be peace between these two men, Jacob and Esau, when you think about that? Can there be any peace? You know, and when I went to verse 4, it gave me the answer. But Esau ran to meet him, his brother, and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Yes, peace is possible, even for Jacob and Esau. And I'm going to stop and interject right there. Even in your own family right now, peace is possible. No matter what you and your family members have went through or going through, y'all stop speaking to one another. Y'all stop fellowshipping with one another. It's time to let the past go, the hurt, the regrets, memories and feeling, and come together. That's what God would want. That's what Jacob and Esau did. Esau then asked about the women and children. And Jacob, you know, makes introduction of them. For the first time, Esau meets his nephew, nieces, and sister-in-law through the scripture. We read that. Now, how many times have you all had family members and things have happened at a period of time, things come up where the other family members don't know their sisters and brothers, don't know their nieces, their nephews, even sister-in-laws, brother-in-law, father-in-law, because it's been a break in the family. You know, as I read on, then there is a gift Jacob has set aside, a considerable portion of livestock. And as I read in that, it said they had 550 animals in all. As a peace offering for his brother. Now, he had brought all this for his brother. You find that in Genesis 32:15-16. You know, Jacob knew he had caused his brother considerably pain. While no financial blessing can fully repay the damage, he wanted to do what he can. And that happens in a lot of families today. No money, I don't care how much you have, can buy that peace and that joy and that happiness to bring a family together. Money can't buy everything. Money answered all things,
down here, we understand that. But when you need the love of your father and your mother, your sister and your brother, you need God to come in and step in. Because you can't buy love. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy joy. You know? And as I was reading that a little bit further, Esau refused. I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. He was letting him know God had blessed him. He didn't want to take, although it was a gift from his brother, but he was, I fear, paraphrasing, he wanted that love more than all this material stuff. He wanted the love of his brother to get to know his family members that he didn't even know. And, you know, Jacob, however, insists, and the language of his reply gave two important clues to this. First, he said that to see his brother's face is like seeing the face of God. You'll read that in Genesis 33 and 10. You know, Jacob had just survived a face-to-face encounter with God and named the place Peniel, face of God. You'll find that 32 and 30. He had struggled with God and prevailed. However, he prevailed not by winning. The fight was a stalemate, but through suffering and persevering. It is also that way regarding Esau. My. When you read this story and you think about some of you all that have family members that y'all have disconnected through the years for some small conflict that y'all really don't really know how it started. You know, neither party is able to win, but through suffering, persevering, and commitment to the relationship, peace is possible. Here Esau's smiling face, his willingness to accept his brother, mirrored the grace Jacob received from God. My. And that was the night before. Second, as I was reading in Hebrews of verse 11, Jacob refused to the presence as a blessing. But the significance of that word was not likely lost on Esau, whom Jacob had cheated out of his blessing years before. You know, as you went back, you read the story further back on Esau and Jacob and how he was cheated out of the blessing that his father had given to him and how the switch came about. And, you know, as I was reading also that it was a significant of bowing down to Esau. And bowing seven times was a gesture of a subject before his or her king or of a slave before his or her master. My. You know what? I read that. I tried to get some good nuggets out of that to bring to you and bring it home to where some of you all may be going through that in your family. Some things that was done through childhood, young adult. But how God will prevail through it all. Through it all. And as we go a little bit further, we see Jacob insists Esau accept the offering. Then presuming that Jacob has set out to meet him in Seir, Esau offered to accompany his brother on the journey. You know, whether out of lingering doubt about their relationship or for other reason, politely turned down Esau's offer to serve as a bodyguard. But in time, he insists that they will meet again. They didn't give up. They kept towing at that because they know they had to come back together. You know, like we would say, paraphrasing, let bygones be bygones. You know, they do, in fact, face again at least once more. The final, you know, scene involving the death of their father. Isaac. Isaac has summoned Esau to receive the family blessing long before thinking he was unlikely to live longer. In fact, he lived 20 more years. Ironically, while fear of death drove the brothers apart, death itself brings them together. My, my, my. You notice how when something happened in a family, you haven't seen somebody 10, 15, or 20 years, but someone passed away. Just like with Esau and Jacob, death has a way of bringing your family back together. Then you start finding out about all your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, everybody that you had never saw. So-and-so had a son, daughter, whatever. You didn't even know them. Passing them every day on the street and didn't know who they were, didn't know what children they was. And, you know, I thought about that when I read that. While fear of death drove the brothers apart, death itself brings them together. Together, the brothers laid their father to rest. You know, the story of Jacob and Esau is one of lifelong conflicts pitted against one another by parents. You know, the custom of society and their own weakness and ambition, the two led their whole lives in opposition. That's happened to a lot of families right now. And when you think about that, my, you don't want to live like that. You want to stay close to your sisters and brothers, to your mothers and fathers. You got to get that thing right. And, you know, as I went through the scriptures, they weren't the only one. I thought about how would it end with, like Cain and Abel. Would one finally kill the other one? You know, Jacob took the first step toward reconciliation rather than vengeance. He didn't want vengeance. Esau, too, desired a fresh start with his brother. And that's why I came up with the past, the hurt, the regrets, the memories. It was time to let all that go. It was time to go on and do what God would have them to do. And, you know, Esau ran to meet him, hug him, and kissed him and wept. You'll find that in verse 33 and 4. You know, the story ends with both brothers united at their father's funeral. How many times do you find in your family brothers and sisters reuniting at a funeral? Mothers and fathers that's been divorced, a child have left before them all. And that brings them back together. My. You know, I just give God praise for this morning, because when I read this, I think of so many families and so many funerals you go to, and one is sitting there and say, that face looked familiar, or your name is on the program. And they say, I haven't seen them in 25 or 30 years. So I can, in my sanctified mind, just think how Jacob and Esau felt when they met up again. My. I have a caller on. Caller from 918, area code 918. I'm going to bring you on at this time. I'm going to interject because you may want to say something right now. I'd really appreciate you coming on.
No more. I'm just listening right now, but I'm with you.
All
right now. I'm just listening, but this is a pretty good lesson.
Okay. Thank you so much, caller. Area code 918. And you know, as I read on, I thought about that and put myself in a sense where these brothers was. Thank God, the little family I have, we're still tightly together, thank God. Distance separates us, but we call each other, we visit each other. We don't want to, you know, wait till sickness or death come in to bring us together. when you know you only got a few members in your family or a large family, try to stay close to your family. They may not be what you want them to be. They may not be doing what you want them to do. Keep praying. Keep staying connected to them, because it's going to take you to draw them closer and closer to God. You know, and as I read on, Jesus told a beautiful story that echoes this one, which we know as the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through 32. 11th chapter in the 32. It, too, is about a family, a father and two sons, someone like Jacob. The younger son secured a portion of the estate from his father and quickly ran off to a distant pagan land. But you see, in the end of that story, how the son went out there, wanted to have righteous living, get everything he could now. But what happened? He had to come back home. When everything, when all your friends done took your money, they done talked about you, they done drug you in the mud, you all had no place to go but home. But home is still there waiting with open arms. And that's what that father was doing. There with open arms waiting for his son to come. You know, and at this point, the story, you know, the verse, while Jacob married, had children, and achieved financial success, the man in Jesus' story squandered every dime he had. In time, however, he came to his senses and returned home. While he was still on the way, the father ran out to meet him and welcome him with hugs and kisses. You know, when you think of that, when your father run out to meet you, and your heavenly father had never left you, he's right there with you. But you come to yourself and realize, I'm not doing good where I'm at. I thought I knew everything. I wanted to be on my own. I didn't learn what I should have learned at home with my father. I wanted everything he had before he even died. I wanted my portion. But you never realized it was going to come to a point in your life that all that was going to be gone one day, and that you was going to have to come back, not only to your earthly father, but to your heavenly father. You was going to have to call on the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Hey. Ooh, but Jesus, listen, mighty have asked, isn't it the older brother who is supposed to meet the younger and receive him with a kiss? No, the older brother was too upset. He couldn't understand why the father would prepare all this stuff for the younger brother. But he had stayed there. He felt in his fine like mine and did all the work, did everything, while the other brother went out. But, you know, in this here, where is the older brother? In Jesus' story, the older brother sulked in the distance, out of relationship with his father and brother. And you find that in Luke, the 15th chapter and the 28th verse. You know, only in comparison with the story of Jacob and Esau, does the story of the prodigal son take on a full meaning? Listening to Jesus, we are compelled to ask, if Esau could forgive his brothers, why can't we? My. If Esau, oh, Jesus, could forgive his brothers, why can't we forgive our brothers? Why can't we forgive our sisters? Why can't we forgive those we know have wronged us, have hurt us, have talked about us, have scandalized our name, have backstabbed if God forgive them and throw it in the sea of forgiveness, why can't we do it, you all? And that's where we come back up to my five major things. The past, let the past go. The hurt, sure it hurt it right then, but once you give it to God, that's over with. Go on. Don't look about the regrets, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, do what God tell you to go on. Dust yourself up. Pick yourself up. Put your head up. And you go on. Members, you're going to have good members. They're going to come and go. They're going to fade away. Just like that, I use a paraphrase, a plate of food. You done ate it, it done fade away. You go back later on and say, ooh, that sure was good. You savoring the flavor of that food you had on that plate. But it's gone. It was a memory. Feeling? Sure, all of us have feeling. Sure, all of us get hurt. Sure, a lot of us want to live in the past. But it's time. God is putting new things in your life every day. Every day he lets you wake up. It's a new day. It's a new morning. New mercy. New grace. He wants you to let all that stuff go. If he can put it in the sea of forgetfulness and never bring it up again and remind you of it, you can do it too. You know, as I was going through those scriptures and those different scenarios in the Bible of the different brothers and the different things that happened to them, you know, the last days of Isaac provide an occasion for reconciliation between Jacob and his father. And the two sons, Esau and Jacob, joined together in bearing their father.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do it separate. They came together. Just as early as the brothers Isaac and Ishmael had joined together to bury their father, Abraham. You know, as you go through the scriptures, you'll read different things that happen in different chapters to different people and places and things in there. And you can bring it all the way back home to, you think, my, God, you just so awesome. You are awesome, God. When I just think about reading the stories in the Word of God, how that came about, which was true, and how it can relate to your families now. It's time for family and friends to come together. It's time, as the old saints used to say, to bury them hatches. What happened 50 years ago, it was 50 years ago. This is now, it's 2012, a brand new year with new mercy, new grace, joy, wisdom, long-suffering, peace. When you just think about all that God has provided for you, how God is steadily blessing you, he's giving you everything that you need. You don't have to hold on to all those things tomorrow. Don't wait till somebody passes away and get up at the funeral and act a fool and, you know, if I'd have done this. God giving you ample time now to get it right. You can go back and see. The way these brothers, even one of them brothers was brought back together, they had to come through by way of grief. Do you want grief to take hold of your family for you to realize that God loves you, that God has something better for you, that God is pulling at your heart right now as you listen to this broadcast? It's time to let go of the past. It's time to bring a closure to all that you've been harboring all these years. It's time to close the door on that stuff. It's time to reflect on what God have you doing now. It's time to say, what past fears and conflict do I need to put behind me? That means if you need to close the door. The enemy is right there trying to see how he can get in. When you just give him a crack in that door, he coming through it. If you give him a crack in that window, he coming through. If you raise up the lid just a little bit, he going to get make it enough where he got enough room to come in, and he going to be pushing it open so many more of his imps can come in. You don't want that. So you are all out there today that may be don't know how to close the door on past hurts, on regrets, on feelings. We all have went through that. It's nobody on God's green earth have not went through those five things. And I'll give them to you again in case you want to write them down. Past, the hurts, the regrets, memories, feelings. We all have went through that. But we learn through the Word of God with the Holy Spirit how to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off through the Word of God. That's why we read this Word. That's why we go through this Word, to get strength. I can't keep going back what happened to me 30 years ago. If I want something better in my life, God has something better right before my eyes. But I'm going to turn that down to keep going back 30 years. This happened, that happened, this happened in my life, that happened. How are you going to be able to go forward if you keep bringing up the past? How can you embrace what God has for you now in the land of milk and honey if you still having regrets, if you still holding those memories, if you still holding them feelings on the inside? Today, ask God to release all these five things that you've been going through and you wondering why you can't go forward, why every door is closing in your face. You still talking about the past hurt. That's the past. Get it together. That's the past. Sure, it was good at that time, but God then brought you to something better. Let the past go. Sure, Johnny hurt you. Sure, Mary Sue hurt you. But God got David standing before you right now. They're going to treat you like a king, a queen. Why are you still going to worry back by day by what Mark did? Let it go. Regrets. Stop holding regrets down. Memories, you're going to have good memories and you're going to have bad memories. And that's what they are, memories. We can't change none of that. God came in, give you a clean bill of health, a clean mind, filled you. At that time, you might not even have had the Holy Ghost. Now God then put the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He done put a prayer in you. He done put a song in you. He done put a shout in you. And you won't go back to the old memories again? You want to keep laying on them feelings every day, day in and day out, you saying the same thing over and over and over again? How you going to be able to walk on to your future? He already know what happened. You done told it 1,000 times. You done been through it 1,000 times. Why keep reliving that thing that hurt? Let it go. You know, peace is not a matter of winning and losing. But as long as we view a relationship as a win-lose, we cannot be at peace. Think of a conflict in which you are or have been involved. Did you identify your struggles in terms of winning and losing? And what other ways could you view it? Peace is on that inner. It's not a matter of winning and losing. You want to have that inner peace, you all. The next thing, someone must take the first step in reconciliation. Often, each party in a conflict wait, hoping the other will flick first. How many times you waited with, she didn't speak to me, but I ain't going to speak to her. Y'all go on there for 10 years doing that same thing. It's got to be a bigger person somewhere. It's got to be a better person with the Holy Ghost. Say, wait a minute. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath. That person that didn't speak to you today may have had so many things on their mind when they passed you. They may not have noticed you. It wasn't that they was trying to ignore you, but something else may have caught their attention when they passed you so abruptly, unless they just ran straight into you. But here you have a conflict with that other person. And when it boils down 10 and 20 years later, y'all both run into each other. Y'all can't even figure out, don't even know where it started at. But y'all done let all this time break up your relationship, your friendship, your connection with God. You have been had to go to God every day, asking God to forgive me for this, asking God to forgive me for that, really not knowing, forgive me, Lord, for anything I've done. You may not have done anything, but you still ask for forgiveness. And this other person They're holding you up. You didn't say this and you didn't do this. And, neither want to appear weak. If this happened, the conflict will continue indefinitely. Think of a conflict. What steps could you take to put an end to this? Just thinking you're fine like mine now. Some of you all that's been going through this, holding, not reconciling with one another, even husband and wife, little small things that y'all want to divorce, y'all want to separate, y'all want to do this and that. When y'all come together with Jesus at the head, in the head of your life, talk that thing over. Get that thing right. Because life is too short. What steps could you take to put an end to it? And what ways could these efforts backfire, fail, or be misinterpreted? All those risks worth the chance of redeeming the relationship? Do you want your relationship redeemed today? I'm just taking all this from Jacob and Esau, how they had to come together, but through grief, all that they went through, all them years, they were separated, all going their separate way. Families are doing that today, going their separate way. Don't call one another. Don't write one another. And if you ask them right now, why they not write, I don't know. Well, she did this. But really, did she do that? Or did you do that? Or neither one of y'all did that. But y'all just hide under the couch. It's time for y'all to come together. Don't wait till death have to separate you. Wait till you're at a funeral or a wedding to meet up with relatives you ain't seen in years. It's time out for that, y'all. Life is too short. Time is moving on. We need to let all these five things that I brought to you all today, just let that stuff go. Because God is a good God. You know, you want to say something, Carla?
No, what you said is so true. I mean, that is so true. We have to let everything go and just release every care concern to God. You mean we got to be forgiving every day? You know what I'm saying? We always got to forgive one another and show God love. And then once you better do that, you can better receive things up from God. You know, we got to be in the right position, the right place with God. And so most definitely, even if it's a Christian walk, we have to forgive them. Because like I said, if we don't forgive our brother, how can God forgive us? You know what I'm saying? So you got to forgive. Let them go. And so even with that, we have to learn how to walk in love.
All right. And, you know, as I was reading, we can't overrun our conflict here. Jacob could not overrun his conflict with Esau. He traveled a great distance. He simply found the conflict repeated in his relationship with Laban. After all, the conflict was within Jacob. Likewise, if we cut off one relation of conflict, we often find ourselves facing the same conflict in a new form because we haven't, if it's a change form, we haven't settled the one that we had. So we may find a new spouse, a new job, a new church, but the conflict remains. It becomes part of our relationship and our, you know, naturally. How can we face our conflicts and find solutions today, both within ourselves and with others? Today, we need to each check ourselves and face our conflict. Speak that thing out. Speak the word only. Speak the word. Go to the word. Speak what the word is saying to us. What God is saying, what the Holy Ghost is saying. Bring all this stuff together. Bring the family together. Bring friendship back together. Don't let they say, we say, I say, they can. That's the worst thing, to break up a relationship with friends, with family, with husband and wife, believing what somebody else say. Somebody else see how y'all relationship are, and you're going to get five or six different people telling you, you know, they said this, we said that, they said. When it boiled all down to it,
You don't know what happened. You don't know because it had so many say this and say that. You don't know what's going on. So we can't outrun our conflict no matter what part of the world we go to, no matter, like I said earlier, if we went to a new church and you still got that old past hurt, past regrets and memories from the other church, until you get rid of all that junk out of you, you're going to go to the new church with the same thing. Until you get rid of all that stuff that happened on your job, when you get a new job, you're going to bring that same old conflict to your new job. People don't know you. You don't know them. It's time to leave all that stuff. If you was at that job, get that stuff straight. Leave it at the job. Don't bring your job and home with a conflict with your family, your spouse. You know, resolve that stuff. Resolve difference require honesty and compassion. Here, Jacob and Esau was finally able to resolve their differences. With God's help, we too can find peace, even if face-to-face resolution is not possible. We can still find peace, just as it is possible to carry conflict with us into new relationship. It is possible to carry reconciliation and peace with us too. And that is so true. We can have peace. We can face resolution or resolve the problem. We don't have to carry it into a new relationship, to a new job, to a new church, to new friends that we meet. Let it go. Let the past go. Let the hurt go. Let the regrets go. Let the memories, the bad memories, you're going to hold on to some memories. The feeling, but God going to give you new things you can think on, you're going to work on, new things, new avenues he's going to send you in, new territory he's going to put you on. New doors are being opened right now for a lot of you all that's listening on this line right now. God is setting up some things for you right here on earth, but you got to let these five things go. And when you start letting these things go, God's going to open these doors, and you're going to be able to walk through these doors with a new and a determined mind. You're not going to let the past. Sure, you may see people from your past. Don't let that dictate your future, though. Sure, you may hear someone went through what you went through. You can tell them how God brought you out. Sure, you was hurt. Everybody on God's green earth been hurt sometime or another, some form or another. Not at church, if it wasn't on the job, it wasn't in a relationship, wasn't with family member. Everybody done went through these different things in life. But when you go back to your words, starting from the beginning in Genesis, and read on through and start seeing how these things, they had to come to closure. And that's the same way we have to do today. We have to come to closure. We have to let this stuff go. And, you know, I just want you to consider the story and reflect it, some of the things that I told you today. How else might a person find inner reconciliation with a loved one who has died? That's why you don't need to wait till your family members have passed on. And you haven't seen your mother and father 10 and 15 years. You haven't called them. But as soon as you get word that they passed, you show up on the scene to see what they left for you. Don't do it that way. Get to know who your father and your mother is, your siblings. Get to know who your niece, nephews, uncles are, aunties. Don't wait till that day when y'all all meet up together to know who your family members are. You don't even want to marry a person that you don't even know. Could be your cousin, could be your nephew, could be your niece. Because you broke the chain 30 and 40 years ago, you don't know nobody. Don't let that be. Let love and joy and peace come into your relationship. Let all this stuff go. Because that's what we have to do. We have to bring closure. When a chapter is closed, 2011 is closed, ladies and gentlemen that's listening on this line. 2012 is before you. God has some new plans for you this year. And for you to walk through those doors for 2012, that means you got to walk through with boldness. You got to walk through with the Holy Ghost. You got to walk through with that joy, that peace, that inner strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that's the topic I had today on closure. Let's go forward in 2012. Let's do the things God have called us to do. Let us speak the word this year in 2012. Only the word. Speak the word in your situation. No matter what you're going through right now, you speak the word. You don't need nobody to come from far off and near. You speak the word. The Bible tell you. It decreed and they declared in the word of God. You open it up and start speaking that word for yourself. Start doing what the word say do. Start being led by the Holy Ghost. And God surely will bring you out. He will heal you everywhere you need to be healed, no matter what you're going through right now. He is the healer. And to get ready to close our broadcast off, I want to thank each and every person that tuned in by our call, that may have come on air, that didn't want to speak today. But I thank you for your presence today. And I hope God send and bless you today on hearing the word of God on past hurt, regrets, memory, and feeling about closure, closing the door to all these things that have prevented you from coming into 2012. Now that you're here and now that you know better, you can start closing and shutting them doors, never to reopen them. Because God closed them. He threw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And if God threw them in the sea of forgiveness out of your life, surely you can do the same thing. And we have a caller that's on the air today. That's a prayer warrior. I'm going to ask her, would she mind closing out our broadcast today with a prayer?
Amen. Father God, we just come right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this day, God. We just thank you for this time of your word. Just thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship on today, God. And we just pray, God, I just decree a blessing on people even to listen to this broadcast. God, we just give them a word, a now word in this season. We just decree, God, your peace, your favor. Father, we just pray, God, for blessing. We speak peace. We speak strength, God. We just pray, God, for just meeting every need in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said the two of you touch and agree, asking anything. By faith, Father God, you said in your word that it should, but I just pray, God, even throughout the day, God, for people to be saved, delivered, healed, and simply because of the anointing. You said in your word you could come boldly, God, unto the throne in grace and in favor, God, at a time that we thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that you provide. We thank you, God, that you are El Shaddai. We thank you, Father God, even now, Father God, even that you are the God of our peace in the name of Jesus. You said that you would keep us, God, in perfect peace if we keep our mindset on thee, God. We decree, God, and we ask all these things, God, in the blessing in the name of the Father, the Son, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank God because he's a mighty good God. He's a mighty good God. We want to give God praise for the show today. And if anybody have anything that they would like to encourage Overseer Sadie Elliott in joy and peace, just send me an email through Blog Talk, a message, and I'd be glad to respond to it because we'd like to bring more people on that want to share the word of God with the audience around the world. It's not about me, but it's all about God. It's about serving him and giving him the glory, praising him, because he is truly, truly worthy to be praised. And I magnify him. I lift him up, and I thank every listener that came on today that listened, every caller that called in today that didn't want to say anything, but they just wanted to listen. I want to thank you. And for future shows, if you would like to be on, just give me shout out through Blog Talk or through my email. I'd be more than happy to have you on because I don't know everything. I don't know everybody. I am open to learn more and more through the Word of God each and every day of my life. And until next week, we'll bring another exciting topic through the Word of God. Not through Overseer Sadie, but through what the Word of God put upon our heart to bring to you. So I'm hoping as you go on Facebook, Twitter, or Blog Talk Radio that you will be able to get this program, and you can also check the archives. And for next week, if you want to give the number out to other members of the family of Prince, the number to call in is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. And I want to thank each and every one of you this day. And until next week, y'all be blessed. Have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.